We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Now that it's Christmas season, hopefully you have been on the Christmas diet. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, syrup. I think I missed one in there somewhere, but the elf's diet. Hopefully you are charged up and ready to go today. I've been thinking, I really appreciate, Pastor Marco brought a great word last week. How many enjoyed that? I really enjoyed a time to kind of just sit under the word, receive the word, and have a little bit of time to think, God, where do I want to go next? Where do you want me to go next? I don't want to just talk. I want it to be something you want me to say. Isn't that right? And so as I started to think about this magical time, how many of you know we're in the most magical time of the year? Oh, man, and we have a fresh coat of snow on the ground. I'm ready to have some eggnog, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm excited about this, and it got me reminiscing. You know, I'm talking, when I talk reminiscing, I'm talking like Christmas Vacation up in the attic watching the old movies. You know what I'm saying? Half of you know the movie, the other half don't. That's okay, it's homework. But I start to begin reminiscing about how amazing Christmas was when I was younger. And I remember as a child opening that big old Sears catalog. Anybody know what I'm talking about? These kids just won't understand. Nowadays, they're just asking. Nowadays, they're asking Alexa just to open up Amazon and show them something. But I remember opening up that Christmas catalog and going through, and I remember looking at every page because I didn't want to not ask for the good stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You're flipping every individual page and you're looking and you're making a list and you're checking it twice. And then you're trying to figure out what's most important on your list. And I remember, waking up on Christmas morning with action figures or waking up on Christmas morning with rollerblades, with video games. How many people in here, can even remember what a wrestling buddy was? Wrestling buddies, that somebody was brilliant enough. They were like, these kids keep beating up pillows. Let's make a pillow figure. And it was this pillow that looked like Hulk Hogan, so you could drop the big leg on him. You know, it was amazing. And I remember all of these awesome gifts that I made on my list, and I was able to say, these are the things that are important. And of course, you're not going to get everything on your list unless, you know, maybe you're God. But all these years later, I watch my kids begin to put together lists. And they begin to go through their little online things and their catalogs. And it made me start to think, I wonder what would be on God's list for Christmas. I wonder what would God want? What would Jesus want for his birthday? And so today I want to bring a message to you called All God Wants for Christmas. If you're taking notes. And really, this came out of, I've been doing a study through 1 John, and so we're going to be jumping through 1 John through this whole message, and I'll tell you right now, as I was digging through this, we could add about 20 more things God would want for Christmas, but I'm extracting from 1 John, so we're pulling from this. Do you understand? So I'm calling this All God Wants for Christmas, but really, we're diving through a whole, we're going to cover the pretty much pieces of all five chapters today in this message. So are you ready? And so it's a little different because I'm going to immediately lead out with some of the things that God wants, and then we'll start diving into the scriptures. But, somebody would say, how on earth would you know what God wants? And I would say, have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever opened it up? Because he's pretty descriptive in there. You know, he doesn't just necessarily suggest, does he? He kind of commands. Not kind of, he does. And so as we dig through this, I'm pretty darn sure I know what God wants for Christmas because he made it pretty clear. All right? If God was writing his lists, number one, he'd say, love me, not the world. Love me, not the world. What is he saying? Look for me, not who's under the mistletoe, young people. Not what's under the Christmas tree, potentially even younger people. No, don't just be looking around for the next thing on your lists. Because we live in a world where, you know, we're so blessed to even be able to make lists in this place. The fact that we live in a country where we're blessed enough to be able to make lists and get something nice for our family and our children. But God's saying, I want you to look for me in this season. I want you to look beyond what the world is shouting about, beyond what they're encouraging, beyond the things that they're saying you should want. You know, it's interesting. You know, there's all these crazy late fads, right? You know, in the last year or so, it was the hoverboard. Every kid wanted a hoverboard, you know? And people our age or older, we were expecting the hoverboard to literally be, you know, Back to the Future cool. You know, like, oh, this isn't a hoverboard, this is a rolly board. You want to see a hoverboard? Let me take you back to the future. You know, but there's always these trends, and all, you know, every kid wants this and every kid wants that. And but God's saying, look, I want you to go beyond the trend. I want you to look for me this Christmas. Look what it says in 1 John 2:5-6. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Say forever. See, he's saying everything that you have on your list this year is probably going to be part of the fade away process. It's probably going to be the thing that doesn't last. What I want you to do for Christmas is love me, not the world. I want you to look for me. I want you to present me. I want what you have to stretch further. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I love God, but loving God is not a word. If I told my wife I love my wife, but never did anything to show her love, it didn't matter what I said. That's what I was telling these parents up here. It doesn't matter what you say, it's what you do. If you say that you're going to raise your child in the house of the Lord, then you should be in the house of the Lord, right? Not dropping them off at youth on your own, you know, on their own when, you know, you're not going to church on Sunday kind of thing. I'm telling you, God wants you to love him by what you do, not just by what you say. God, you know I love you. Then why are you not giving me your time? God, you know I love you, but you don't have any conversation with me regularly. God, you know I love you, but you still have decided you're not going to serve in the house of God. God, you know I love you, but you're robbing God because you don't bring his tithes and offerings. God actually may not know you love him because words are not the same thing as deeds. In fact, James tells us that what? Faith without works is dead. So if I say I love you, God, and for Christmas I want to show you my love, then there's always going to be traction that comes with my words. Are you getting this? Because I think about the season and how amazing it is and how beautiful it is, how commercialized it's become. And that's what the world does, and that's fine, but you've got to guard your hearts on what this Christmas looks like. Because if it's always just about building the life your kid wants, rather than teaching them what life is supposed to be built on. No matter what you get them, it's never going to be enough because there'll be a new hoverboard. There'll be a new thing. But if we understand, we teach them, look, we bring gifts to each other. In the same way the wise men brought gifts to God in this desire of love, we show love by bringing and giving gifts. That's fine, but it's got to be about the creator, not about the thing created. Are you getting this? He wants to see our love, not just hear our words. Remember in 1 Samuel, it says obedience is greater than sacrifice. He wants us to show him that we love him by how we obey. Okay, are you getting this? Number two, the next thing, if he was writing his list, he'd say walk in the light, not just among the lights. I know that there's some amazing Christmas displays, my house being one of them, and I probably overdid it. I just wanted a little more happy in my life. So when I'm not sleeping, I'm ordering stuff from Amazon. I'm like, I'm going to hang this from the roof. I'm going to figure out how to get this in, you know, and whatever. The whole point is this. He doesn't want us just to walk through the Christmas lights. He wants us to walk in the lights. And what does that mean? In 1 John, it tells us this. Starting in verse 5, it says, this is the message what we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what does it mean to walk in the light? It means being honest about our situation and changing our position. Understanding that if I'm going to walk in the light, then I'm walking in Christ. And if I'm not walking in Christ, then I'm not walking in the light. It seems simple, but it's not easy. How many have ever felt the need to do everything right all the time? Are there any of those people that have maybe that personality trait that is a little obsessive, compulsive, you know? Yeah, I know. Gotta get everything just right. And can I tell you, that is not the trait you want when you're putting up Christmas lights, just a sidebar. It's not right. Julie's like, it looks fine. I'm like, no. Can you run upstairs into the second floor and open the window and hold this thing from the second floor while I figure out how to fix it down here on the ground? Meanwhile, she's up there holding it for like 15 minutes. My arm's dead. No, there's this desire to want to get it right. If I always remember even raking leaves growing up, it was this thought, you know, my parents told me I had to come out and do this and I'm doing it, but if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. This desire, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And walking in the light, we can want to be perfect, but we're never going to be perfect because we're not Jesus. If we could have been perfect, we didn't need Jesus. Right? So I know I'm not going to be perfect, but I'm going to continue to strive to walk in the light of Christ, to walk with him. 1 John 1:8-10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What am I saying? Don't say that you're walking in the light when you're walking in sin. Don't say, no, I said that prayer and I'm good with God, but I'm just going to live like hell. That's something that we have to work through. And you're like, this is supposed to be a time of just like happy messages, Pastor Chad. I want God to be happy with me. I want God to be happy with you. And I want us to be very awake to the fact that we live in a culture where we can be lulled to sleep thinking we know Christ, but we're not walking in him. We're not walking in the light, even though we are familiar with where the light comes from. We're not actually walking in the light daily, even though we own a Bible. Like, it's up to us to understand God has given us the ability to take dominion. What is that? To take control, to govern our own selves, to have the responsibility to know what's right and wrong and to choose what's right, even when it's not popular. God wants us to shine. He wants us to shine, and it's walking with him as God is the light. When we walk with him, we shine. Going further in 1 John, it says this, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. When God says, I want you to walk in the light, he's saying, I want you to be like me. I want you to do the things I would do. And it can be hard. We're all just trying to get it right. And it can be hard because we can even see sometimes where there's even imperfect natures with people that are just trying to do their best. But we have to remind ourselves it's the grace. It's by grace we're set free. I'll never get it twisted. I'll always understand I'm saved by grace, but it doesn't mean I won't strive to be like Christ. Just because God bails me out time and time again with a crazy measured amount of grace because I need it and you need it, it doesn't mean we don't try and strive to be more like God. Are you getting this? And I love it because God says he'll never ask. I love it. He'll never ask what we can't do. He won't ask more than we can do. He won't allow us to, you know, as Pastor Marco brought up last week in the message, he won't allow us to go through something that we can't bear and that he doesn't give us an out, an off-ramp, an exit. He's going to help us through this thing, but we've got to be attentive to the Holy Spirit, to his leading and to his direction, yeah? And so walking in the light is walking as Christ walked, more than being enlightened, but illuminating the truth through action. It's more than just having the knowledge. It's more than being enlightened to it. It's actually choosing to live it and illuminating that said truth. Are you getting this? Let's jump to number three. The next thing I believe he would have on his list is be known as my child. Be known as my child. There's nothing greater than when your kid makes you proud and everyone knows it's your kid. Any parent know what I'm talking about? You know, maybe it's at the end of for me, I live in the ballet world. I am King Nutcracker, okay? And so I live in the world where at the end of the recital, my girls do their little, I call it frolicking in the snow. Whatever they do is they leave the stage, and I'm like, yeah, you're awesome. I want them to know that's my kid. And it was really obnoxious this year because the whole class decided they weren't going to do it because of COVID, but my daughter Mackenzie said she was going to do it, so she had three solos in the recital, which is not something that an eight-year-old normally does. And so, like, at the end, when she finished, I was obnoxious about, like, that's my girl! And everyone knew, like, it's the only girl on the stage. Yeah, she did a good job. And they're like, that's the parent. Good job. Okay. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, oh, which one? No, she's the only one. But there's something about making your parents proud. And I believe God wants us to be known as his child. Look what it says here in 1 John 3. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. I can do it all day. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. This is a really important thing. Because as I think about being known as my child, like if God's writing his list and he says, be known as my child, what is he saying? Be nice, not naughty. I want you to do what's right. I want you to do what's right. I want people to know you're a person of character. You're a person of integrity. You're a person that makes the right decisions in the hard times. You're a person that makes the right decisions when no one's looking. See, we think if we don't get caught, it didn't happen, but God knows all. Just because you're hiding it from your spouse doesn't mean you're hiding it from God. Just because you're hiding it from somebody that could really, take problem with it or somebody that could come down on you, God already knows. I want to be known as his child by doing what's right. How else are we known as his children? We love one another. We love one another. And actually, 1 John, if you read all five chapters, the thread that runs through it all is really about love. It's about love and loving one another. And 1 John 1:9 through 11 says this, he who says he is in the light, remember when we were saying we were going to walk in the light? Well, he says, if he says he lives in the light and hates his brother, is in the darkness in town. Oh, sorry. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We've lived in a year of darkness. We've lived in a year of hating our neighbor. We've lived in a year of separation, of this pulling apart at the seams. We've lived in a year where even the children of God don't act like children of God. They pick up political causes more than they pick up the cause of Christ. They choose to align themselves with movements instead of the man who died on the cross for our sins. We look at this situation and we go, if I'm going to walk in the light, if I'm going to be known as his child, then I'm going to love. And it is very possible to love somebody you completely disagree with. Because I can have a debate. Oh, I can debate with the best of them. I can have a discussion. I can have an intense conversation and be completely on the other side. You can do this too, where you actually do not have anything in common, but yet you don't wish ill on them. But yet you can still respect them as a human being. You can still love them as God's creation. You can just do this crazy thing called agreeing to disagree. It's wow, it's still acceptable. We can still choose to love somebody that doesn't think the way we do. And in fact, until we love someone that doesn't think the way we do, we don't actually know what real love is. Because otherwise, you're only appreciating the people that are like you. Loving somebody is loving someone that's not like you. The whole point of God loving us while we were in sin, we were nothing like God because we were sinners. We may have been created in the image of God, but we were blasphemous. We may have been created in the image of God, but we were in sin. We were as far away from God from the moment he created us. The minute we fell into sin, we were now opposite of who God was. And he chose to love us. He chose to die on a cross for us while we were still in sin. That's what love is. We're to love one another. Remember? Be nice, not naughty. Do good towards your siblings. And 1 John 3:11 says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another." What's he saying? I'm not adding anything to it. This isn't anything new. This is what it's always been. We're just doing a bad job at it. 1 John 4:7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us love, his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." Look, we're about to celebrate the birth of Christ. We're about to celebrate Christmas. And what was the purpose for Christmas? We look right here. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. The whole purpose Jesus came was to show us how to do it. The whole purpose Jesus came was so that we could follow him, that we could live through him. The purpose of Christmas. All right, I'll move on. Getting worked up and I'm wearing a coat. It's getting hot. Number four, I believe he would write, "Know my voice." If he could have what he wants for Christmas, we would love him, not the world. We would walk in the light. I also believe he wants us to know his voice. How many know there are a lot of voices out there? How many people remember trying to tune one of those old dial radios? Yeah, I got it. Oh, it's gone. Hey, oh, there it is. Oh, hold the antennas. Move this antenna. Get it right there. Get tin foil. We're trying to tune in. We want to make sure what we're hearing is of God, because there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of white noise in the world, but there are a lot of voices, and you got to know who you're talking to, who's talking to you, what you're receiving. Is it rubber stamped? Can't triple stamp, double stamp. Dumb and Dumber, sorry. Check it twice is what he's saying. On his list, "Know my voice," I want you to check it twice. It can take time to learn how God speaks, but we can learn quicker what he would say by testing it with what he already said. Man, I prayed, and later in the day, I just felt like God was telling me, you know, to move to Africa and become a missionary. Okay, that might be God. You know, pray about that. But let's also look at what it says, because the fact is, if you're not sure it's God, you could find yourself in a really bad spot. You know? Maybe God's calling you to go be a missionary in Africa. Maybe the timing's off because you just had a newborn baby. Maybe we need to put this weight. You know, a lot of times when God speaks, I go, "Okay, God, I'm going to lay out my fleece." You know what I'm talking about? God, if this is really you, then I need you to make me know it's you, because I don't want to start walking in the wrong direction. But what I love is the best way to weigh God's voice is to already test it against what he already said, because he's not going to contradict himself. If you open your word, if you open the Bible and you see something in here that contradicts what you believe was God, that wasn't of God, because God does not contradict himself. Okay? So weigh it against the word. Check it twice. God wants you to check whether he really said that, whether he gave you that thought, that feeling, that word, you know, the word. It's interesting. The amount of times, and I can only speak like that much, but Pastor Don, our founding pastor, Pastor Nita, you hear both of them talk about how many times people walked into their office and said, God told me. And it was completely contradictory of God's word. The timing was off, the whole situation. But what happens is the minute you say God said, it makes it very difficult for there to be any help. Because now you're making us say God didn't say. And I have no problem saying that if I can just point to God's word and say, well, no, if he said this, then he didn't say that. Like, I don't have any problem with that. But just understand, when you believe you have a word from God, there's safety in the multitude of counsel. Okay, what does that mean? I'm gonna go to people that I know has a strong relationship with God. I'm gonna go to my pastor. I'm gonna go to my leaders. I'm gonna go and talk with them about this word and just say, hey, can you pray about this with me? Come on, we're gonna bring this before God. I wanna make sure that it's right. I wanna test this, okay? 1 John 4:1-3 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the spirits of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Look, God's saying, I'm going to speak, but I want you to make sure it's from me, because other people are claiming they're me and they're not me. Other people are saying that it's coming from me and it's not from me. I need you to test the spirits. I need you to test it. Remember, the devil suggests and urges while God commands and instructs. Be clear on who you are following. And I'm going to end with this. As he's writing his list, number 5, for Christmas, he just wants you to believe in his son. Believe in my son. Simply believe. What does that even mean? It means place your faith in. Even though you can't always see it. Wouldn't it be so much easier if God had just like created this whole thing without faith? Like, God, just let us open our eyes. We see Jesus and we can just believe because we've seen Jesus. Because I'm sure you've all thought that. Like, faith can be exhausting sometimes. It can be tiring. Faith can make you find an overdrive or shift it into another gear. Faith isn't always easy, but that's why God says, no, I want you to lean in. God says, what do we know about God? We know that he made the world. We know he said that we weren't supposed to do something. Mankind did something. Sin entered the world, right? Because they listened to the serpent. And then what happened next? God said, well, you're going to toil the ground for a living. There's going to be pain in childbirth. He starts going through the list of all the things that are going to happen now that sin entered the world. But the reality is, because sin entered the world, things needed to die. And so what we know is that if we don't believe in the Son, the scripture tells us if we don't believe in the Son, then judgment is coming. And so I believe God's greatest wish for Christmas is that people would choose to believe in Jesus. Because one day, every one of us will stand before the throne and we'll give account. We will be judged. And I want to hear, well done, my faithful servant. Enter in. That's what I want to hear. And I believe that's what you want to hear too. It all stems back to believing in Christ. The true reason for the season, the spirit of Christmas, is Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. The fact that he came to earth to show us how to live and inevitably to pay for our sin. Jesus came to die on a cross. He was going to show us how to live before he did, but he came to pay the ultimate price. And he wants your belief to transform your way of life. How you think, what you say, how you live, what you will no longer do, and what you will begin doing because of a real faith a genuine faith, a palpable faith, where it begins to transform your life. To sum it all up, 1 John 3:23 through 24 says, "And this is the command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." God wants a real relationship with you.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.